We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem and Chav Yaakov ben Chosel Leo. We are in Bava Basra, Perachas, Mishnah Zayin. Hakosif in a Chosel Levanav. Here's someone who wants to write a shtar, giving his property to his children. He's alive right now, and he wants to give it to them now as the kinyan, at least the principal, the keren. He wants to continue eating the peros. But he doesn't want, let's say he wants to get married, he doesn't want his nechassim, his possessions, to be meshubad to his new wife, and his sons will end up losing out. So after he passes away. And therefore, he wants to write his nechassim, give them to his sons, but he still wants use of them. So the Mishnah here says, what should he write in the shtar in order that this will be effective? Tzorech sheyichtov mehayom elachar mitzvah. He has to write on this document, on this shtar matana, that he's giving the property from now and after I die. What does that language mean? That the property becomes the property of the children right now. But the father still has the right to eat the peros until he dies. If he doesn't say me'achshav or me'hayom, so then the whole matana won't take effect, because what's the shtar basically then saying? That he's giving them the property after he dies. Well, the property is not his after he dies. It belongs to his heirs. And if he doesn't say after I die, let's say he just says me'hayom, so then the gift is taking effect on everything, and he won't be able to use the payroll, even the payros, or during his lifetime. So the Mishnah here says, and this is all Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So, Kont Rabbi Yehuda, Hakosev, Nechasel Vanov, you have to write in the Shtar Mehayom Alachar Misa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't have to write the word Mehayom. Why not? Because the Gemara explains that according to Rabbi Yossi, have the several places in Shas, that we say that Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Olav. The date in the Shtar proves to us is proof that he's obviously, he wants the kinyan to take effect Mehayom from right now. He doesn't have to say Mehayom. It's written in the Shtar that the Matana, the gift of the Guf HaKarka of the land itself, the Karen, is going to be given from right now. We follow Rabbi Yossi that this would be effective, this Shtar Matana, even if you didn't write the word, even if you didn't write the word Mehayom, you simply had La'achar Misa. You have the date, so that is sufficient. HaKosev Nechaso Livno La'achar Moso. So he in the Mishnah says, person writes a Shtar, give a gift to his son, Alachar Moso, once again, is Mehayom Alachar Misa, the way we described it in the Resha. Ha'av Einu Yachol Limkor Mnei. So now, because of this, remember, the father has the use of the peros, but the Guf HaKark is not his anymore. So the Mishnah says that practically, what does this mean? Ha'av Einu Yachol Limkor the Mnei Shehen Ksuvim Mabein. The father has no right now to sell the Nechasim because the Guf HaKark belongs to the son. The father only has the use of the peros. V'habeina eino yachol limkor, nor can the son sell the nechassim right now while his father is still alive, because the father has the right to use the peros. So what happened if Machara Av, he did sell them, and he wrote that he sold them stam, he didn't say, he just, you know, sold the, he didn't say what he's selling. Simply said, I'm selling my nechassim, and the father's still alive. This is after the son has the ownership of the guf of the karak, and the father has the use of the peros. What does this mean? So mechurin ad sheyamos, we say that the peros are sold to this buyer until the father dies. This because that's all the father has the right to sell, we assume that that's what he has sold. Let's say the buyer, the lokach, says, I don't want that. I don't want just the peros. So then he has the right to be mevatel the whole sale and say, this is a mekachtos. I didn't realize that all I'm getting is the peros. He has the right to go back on the sale and get his money back. Machar habein. And what if the son would sell the nechassim while the father is still alive? Remember, the son doesn't have the use of the peros. He just has the guf hakarka. The buyer doesn't have use of this land at all until the father dies. After the father dies, so then the lokach has now acquired all the nechassim, and if let's say the son, even if the son, let's say, predeceases the father, where the father, remember, only has kinyan peros, and pinyan, we assume that kinyan peros are not kinyan haguf. So that's why this sale is going to be a sale even in such a circumstance. There is a general machlokas whether kinyan peros is kinyan haguf or not. But if you have a kinyan peros, is that like you have a kinyan on the whole karka? Machlokas is teen Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and we find Reish Lakish as kinyan peros is not kinyan haguf. So therefore, if the father had given this as a gift to the son, and now the son sells the nechassim while the father is still alive, the buyer doesn't have the use of that at all. The buyer has the use of it after the father passes away, and that would be true even if the son predeceases the father. Then the Mishnah says, Ha'av Tolesh, The father, in such a case where he gave this shtar matana mehomelach armisa to his son, where he has the use of the peros, but the son has the guf of the karka, he, the father, is able to detach, pluck the peros and use them, and he can feed them to whomever he wants while he's still alive. Let's say he plucks some peros, and now they're sitting on the ground, they're not attached anymore, and then the father dies. Who do those peros belong to? Not the son who bought the who was given the gift of the karka, but rather harehu shel yorshim. All of those who inherit are the ones who are able to take those peros. They're detached. That which is left attached to the ground when the father died, though, that belongs to the son who received the gift. And here there's some discussion. In certain cases, we say where something fruit is already ripe is as if it's detached. Here we're making the assumption as if it's attached to the ground. It's not like it's detached. It's still attached to the ground. It means it belongs to the one who owns the gufa karka, which is the son, of course, after the father dies. This is all in cases, the Gemara explains, where the person is kosev nechasov livanov, where he gave this gift, this shtar, matana meher melchamisa, to his son. Because we assume a person wants his son to have everything, has a very close relationship with his son. But let's say he was kosev nechasov la'acher to someone else. He would give a shtar matana to someone else. Then even that which is attached to the ground when he dies belongs to the yorshim, because we assume, even though it's mechubel karka, something that is going to be detached eventually, then we assume that that's considered peros, and that belongs to the inheritors, and not to the one who owns the guf, who bought, or is given the gift of the guf karka before the father died. Hiniach banim gedolim uktanim. Here we're talking about a case not where he wrote, where the father wrote his nechasim to one of his sons, but rather he died and he left the Yerusha for his sons, and amongst them we have older sons and younger sons. And we assume that the Gemara explains that the older sons are spending a lot more money, would potentially spend a lot more money of the estate on clothing, a lot more than the younger sons. And the younger sons who eat a lot and waste a lot of food, so there's going to be more mizonos, more money spent on mizonos for them. So the Mishnah here says, "Ein hagedolim misparnasim al haktanim, v'lo haktanim mizonim al hagedolim." We say that the older sons can't be misparnas, can't get support to be able to use the money to buy clothing at the expense of the younger sons, who are obviously not going to spend as much money on clothing. Nor can the younger sons now be given more food, more money spent for food from the estate at the expense of the older sons, who are not going to spend as much money on food. So what do we do with the estate? Elachokan b'shavet. So we divide the estate equally, and then everyone, from the older, the younger, whatever it is, what all the sons are going to use the money that they have and buy the food and the clothing that they need. Nasu hagedolim. Let's say the older sons had got married after the father passed away, and they spent a certain amount of money, obviously from the estate, from that Yerusha, on their wedding. And this before they divided the estate. Yisu haktanim. So the Mishnah, what does that mean? Younger son should also get married, which means they should be able to take whatever expenses that they need from the estate as well, just like the older sons did for their marriage. But let's say they say, okay, the sons can use money for the estate to get married, but let's say it's not a case where the older sons got married after the father passed away. If that's true, so then everyone spends the money that they need from the estate in order to get married. It's reasonable. But if this younger son said like this, no, you guys got married before our father passed away, and he spent all of this money when he was alive on your wedding, and the sons, and now the ketanim, the younger sons, now it's time for them to get married, but the father's had already passed away, and they want to use the estate money in order to get married, and they say, we want to spend, our father, when he was alive, he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on your wedding, we want to do the same from the estate. So the Mishnah says, ain't shomer lehem. No, we don't listen to them for them to be able to spend so much money from the nichsei hayerusha. Ela ma'ase nasan lehem aviem nasan. What the father gave in his lifetime to the older sons, he gave. That's not included in the Yerusha. The Yerusha, they has to be reasonable money that's spent on a wedding. Mishnah, next Mishnah, Paraches Mishnah Ches, discusses similar thing. Hiniach In this case, he niach banos gidolos uktanos. This is where the father died. He left older daughters and younger daughters. There are no sons, so the daughters now are the ones who are yoresh. Ein hagedolos misparnisos alaktanos, velo haktanos nizoros alagedolos. The older daughters cannot get the parnasa, meaning the clothing, at the expense of the younger daughters. As we learn when it comes to the sons, there's a lot more money that the older daughters are spending on clothing from this undivided estate, so they can't take more. It's not fair to the younger daughters that are there who don't need as much money for clothing. Nor do we say that Ketanos can receive mizonos, food, which they need more of because they eat more often. They scatter, unfortunately they waste a lot of it. We can't spend money from the estate for the Ketanos, for the food for the Ketanos, at the expense of the Gdolos. Elachokos b'shava, what do? We divide the estate equally, and everyone takes whatever clothing or food or clothing that they need from the estate, from the share that they've received. Nasu Gdolos Yisu Ketanos, and the same idea that we have when it comes to sons. The older those got married, and this was after the father died, so the expenses for the wedding was paid from the estate itself. So then we say Yisu Ketanos. So the Ketanos also, you make a wedding from the money from the estate. Whatever you spent for the older, you spent for the younger. But let's say the older daughters got married when the father was still alive, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that wedding. Ain shomim lahem, we don't listen to them, because now that the father passed away, they're only getting expenses from the estate. You can't spend all of that money that the father spent before. Whatever he gave, or we said in the previous Mishnah, Mashah Nasan lahem avim nasan, what he gave when he was alive, and that was an extra gift. But now he has to be reasonable money spent from the estate. Then the Mishnah concludes, Zechomer babanos mi babanim. There is a chumra, a stringency, a power that the daughters have who are yorshim more than the sons. How so? Ashabanos nizonos al habanim ve'ein nizonos al habanos. We have this in Ksuvos. We say that the younger daughters are going to receive support at the expense over the sons, but they're not going to receive support at expense of other daughters. So we know generally the sons inherit before the daughters we had or at the beginning of the parak. But nonetheless, these banos, ketanos, are going to be supported from the estate. That's one of the Tanai Ksuva that we learned. So when the sons inherit, the banos ketanos are going to receive food, mizonos, before the sons even get the Yerusha. If there are no sons, and now the daughters are dividing the estate and they inherit it, so this Tanai Ksuva doesn't apply, and the banos ketanos are not going to receive anything special for support because they're only daughters. Every daughter gets a share of the estate, and they buy food from that. So that's what this means when it says there's a chumrah of banos over banim, that the banos are nizonos al habanim. So the younger sons, we say, when it comes to sons, they can't eat food, spend food at the expense of older sons. That was the previous Mishnah. And nor can the younger daughters eat the expense of the older daughters, as our Mishnah says. But the banos kanos are going to get mizonos at the expense of the older and the younger sons.